Side 6. Continuing with 4.3.3.2. Page length, line width, and margins. Press a dot 4 chord to look at the next setting, the left margin. The Braille and Speak says left margin 0. Let's change that to 5 and press an E chord. The Braille and Speak says left margin 5. Press another dot 4 chord and you'll hear page length 0. We define page length to be the number of lines that can physically fit on the paper, not the number of lines you want printed on each piece of paper. Therefore, in most cases, we suggest a page length of 66 lines. Go ahead and enter a 66 and press an E chord. The Braille and Speak says page length 66. Press another dot 4 chord. You hear top margin 0. Most of the time, you'll want a margin of 5 at the top and bottom of your page. So let's change this to 5 and press an E chord. The Braille and Speak says top margin 5. Press another dot 4 chord. Now you hear something about window length. You need not concern yourself with this parameter. We're done. If you want to review the settings you've changed, simply cycle back through them with dot 1 chords. Exit the status menu with an E chord. You're almost ready to transmit your file as a print file. But there is one more thing to consider. 4.3.3.3, numbering pages. The Braille and Speak can number your pages. You can have your pages numbered in a print format for print files or a Braille format for Braille files. As long as your page format parameters are set properly for print or Braille page dimensions, page numbering will work right when you transmit your text. You need to turn page numbering on, though, if you want it to be in effect. Get into the status menu and write a number sign, dots 3, 4, 5, 6. The Braille and Speak says something like, number pages off. Turn this setting on with a Y or off with an N. An added bonus of having the page numbering parameter on is that you can check how long your file is going to be before you actually print or Braille it on physical paper. Again, it's essential to set up your page format parameters before using the following command to check out how many pages you have in your file. If you have not done so, issuing the command results in a message, no page format set. Note, when you set page parameters in the classic, the settings are true for every file in your Braille and Speak. This may result in incorrect page dimensions for files requiring a different format. You must always check page format parameters in your currently open file before you transmit it to a printer or Braille embosser to ensure that settings match your expectations. Let's look at an example. Suppose you have a file that has 500 characters of text in it, and it's all in grade 2 Braille. We can't be exactly sure how many print or Braille pages that file turns into without knowing how many blank lines you have and how many carriage returns you physically put into the file. But even beyond that, if you set your page format parameters for print with, say, 66 lines per page and 65 characters per line, when the Braille and Speak counts the number of pages, it will determine a very different number than if you had set your page format parameters to a page length of 25 and a line length of 40, as for a Braille file. The whole business can be confusing, but a way to keep on top of it is to be clear as to whether the file is a Braille or print file, and to check your page format parameters before checking how many physical pages will be printed or Brailled, and certainly before transmitting the file itself. Once you've determined that your page format parameters are set properly, you can exit the status menu with the usual E chord. Now you're back in your file. From anywhere in your file, you can see where you would physically be on the actual piece of paper if you were reading the text from it instead of from your Braille speak. Let's assume that your file has 500 characters in it. You could go to the end of the file with a DOTS 456 chord and then press WH sign chord to see where the cursor is. Then press an SH sign chord, DOTS 146. The Braille speak says, "Please wait," and hisses for a couple of seconds. Eventually it says something like, "Page 2, line 17. So now you know that when you actually print out this file, it will contain two pages, and that the second of the two will be only about a third of the way full of text. We suggest that you try a few test runs setting up page format parameters and using the page numbering setting as trials before you actually trust that things will be transmitted as you expect. All printers and Braille embossers, especially printers, have quirks that may require different values than we recommend for the settings. Nevertheless, once you get these page format issues under control, you'll be transmitting near-perfectly formatted documents all the time. It's a matter of practice. Now we'll turn to the business of how to actually transmit blocks of text from the Braille speak to another device. 4.3.4, sending blocks of text to another device. In this section, we deal specifically with sending blocks of text from the Braille speak to another device, such as a printer. You can, of course, use the commands discussed here to transmit blocks of text to other devices as well. But look at section 4.3.6 for more sophisticated ways to transmit files to and from computers. Naturally, a block of text can be a whole file, but it can just as easily be less than that. When you're sending blocks of text directly from the Braille speak to a printer, you must choose the format, Braille or print, things like page length, line width, and page numbering. Formatting the text from the Braille speak is less important if you intend to edit the text with a word processor after you've sent that text to a computer, but certainly with direct output to a printer, you want your format to be just right. If you're sending text directly to a computer, it is best to utilize a telecommunications program on the computer to facilitate adjusting telecommunication settings to match those on the Braille speak, and to perform error checking during the transmission. We won't recommend a specific telecommunications package, but you'll find several shareware versions that work well with speech synthesizers and screen access programs. For our discussion, we'll assume that you have such a program and are familiar with its use. Remember to address those essential physical page format parameter considerations before you send text to a printer, or you may find the resulting printout very strange indeed. Now let's go through the mechanics of the process of sending blocks of text from the Braille speak to another device. You can send text from the Braille speak to another device in the following ways: the entire file, a single line, paragraph, or block of text. Each of these options starts with a T chord. Writing a certain letter after the enter transmit parameter prompt sends the desired amount of text to the other device. Sending the entire file, a line, or a paragraph is straightforward. When you're ready to send text from your currently open file, place your cursor where you want the transmission to begin, then press a T chord. The Braille speak says, "Enter transmit parameter." Write an L, P, or Z to indicate whether you are sending from the current cursor position to the end of the current line, L, paragraph, P, or entire text, Z. To send a block of text that does not extend to the end of the file, you need to define the block. Before issuing the T chord, you must mark the block to be transmitted. Find the final character you want to include in your transmission. Move beyond it by one character with a DOT 6 chord. then move to the starting point, the first character you want to include in your transmission. Now that you have defined the block to transmit, press a T chord. At the Enter Transmit Parameter prompt, write an M. All the text from your current cursor location to the mark, which you just set, is transmitted. The commands T chord A, T chord B, and T chord S reduce the number of steps you need to perform in order to transmit text. T chord A automatically moves the cursor to the beginning of your file and transmits everything within the file. Any format conditions you have in effect are honored: margins, line, and page length, etc. T chord B sends text from the beginning to the end of the file, but it turns off Braille Translator. It is the command of choice to transmit text directly to a Braille embosser. Any format values you may have set are in effect. If page numbering is on, Braille pages are included in your printout in literary Braille notation. T chord S performs steps which are essential if you want to send clean text to a device for backup purposes only. It does not work with the disk drive, however. If you want no format considerations, no Braille translation, and all of your text sent, then use T chord S. It sends your cursor to the beginning of the file, turns off the Braille translator if it is on, and sets all format parameters to zero before transmitting the entire file. Those are the different ways to send blocks of text from the Braille and Speak to another device. In section 4.3.6, we'll examine a more sophisticated set of commands to transmit files. 4.3.5, modems and other computers. Modems are special devices that link two computers together through the telephone line. You hook up a computer to your phone line by connecting the computer first to the modem, and then the modem to the phone jack, or to the phone itself. The computer you're calling is similarly linked to a phone line through a modem. We won't spend time on how modems work. These devices, too, have manuals which describe their setup and detail the commands to which they respond. For example, you can tell a modem to dial a phone either by tones or by dial pulses, to dial 9 first, wait for a specified period before dialing the rest of the remote phone number, to answer the phone when it rings, and on which ring to answer, etc. The computer on your end of such a connection could easily be your Braille and Speak. If you have a computer and want to transmit data between it and your Braille and Speak, you need to run a telecommunications program in that computer. This program sets up the computer to receive information from an outside source, in this case your Braille and Speak. As with printers, having the correct cable goes a long way toward making things easy. Blazy Engineering has telecommunications programs for the IBM PC and simple file capture programs for both the IBM PC compatible and the Apple families of computers. Also, there are several shareware products that work well with screen access programs. In addition, Blazy has programs that normally come with our external disk drive, such as the spell checker and the scientific calculator. Since these programs come on an MS-DOS compatible 3.5-inch floppy disk, those of you not having a disk drive can still take advantage of these programs by loading them into your Braille and Speak from a PC. Check with Blazy for information on how to obtain any of these programs. Now let's see how to connect the Braille and Speak to other devices. To link your Braille and Speak to a modem, to another Braille and Speak, and to some computers, like some Apple models, you need a null modem cable or adapter. As we mentioned in section 4.1.1, matching up the right cables really smooths your connectivity challenges. Make sure you get a null modem cable with the right attributes to match your Braille and Speak cable and the serial port on your modem or computer. The manual that comes with your computer should indicate whether you need one, and certainly the dealer that sold it to you should be able to provide this information. We'll focus on the IBM PC compatible since it is the computer of choice for most visually impaired users, and it does not require a null modem cable. Assuming that you have connected the cables properly and that you have a telecommunications program running in your PC, you should be all set to transmit data. One last thing. Before you start attempting to transmit data, remember to make sure that your telecommunications settings match baud rate, parity, data bits, stop bits, duplex, and handshaking. In section 4.1.2, we detailed all of these for you and explained how to change them, if necessary, on the Braille and Speak. Naturally, we can't explain to you how your particular telecommunications program allows you to change such settings. We suggest that you go through the manual that came with your telecommunications program to verify what the default telecommunications settings are, and that you check out how to change them in your telecommunications program if the need arises. We emphasize once again, transmitting data can be a breeze, but only if all the settings match on both your Braille and Speak and the other device, and if your cables are the proper cables. Overlooking any one of these issues can cause you needless frustration and confusion. Setting it up right the first time will save you many headaches later. Next, we move on to the specifics of transmitting data between your Braille and Speak and a computer using modem protocols. *4.3.6, using sophisticated modem protocols in transmission. Note, this feature is unique to the 640. So far in our discussion of transmitting data from your Braille and Speak to a computer, we've talked exclusively about using the TCORD command. There is a better way to transmit data when you're dealing with whole files. A telecommunications program not only helps you to match telecommunications settings in the PC with those in your Braille and Speak, but it also handles the way in which your file is transmitted for maximum efficiency in the most error-free manner possible. Telecommunications programs range in their level of sophistication on this point, but even the simplest ones ask you whether the file you're transmitting is in ASCII. Recall that the ASCII character set is made up largely of the alphabet, punctuation marks, numbers, and so on. It is possible to send a file from one computer to another which is not comprised of these characters, and most telecommunications programs have provisions for such files. For the most part, files you transmit from your Braille and Speak to a computer are ASCII files, even if they're in grade 2 Braille. When your telecommunications program is ready to receive a file from your Braille and Speak and asks you whether you are sending it in an ASCII file, you can answer yes and use the TCORD command on the Braille and Speak, followed by the appropriate letter B for a Braille file, for example. However, many telecommunications packages now have more flexibility, and so does your Braille and Speak. When it's ready to receive your file from the Braille and Speak, it may also ask you whether you want to use a modem protocol, such as X modem, Y modem, Z modem, and even Kermit. Each of these options may be advantageous to you over ASCII as a transmission option at times. Note, the Braille and Speak does not support Z modem. Basically, what these options do is to take transmission in chunks rather than one character at a time, and to perform error checking on each chunk before accepting the next chunk. We realize that this explanation oversimplifies why the various modem protocol options are useful, but at least this gives you a feel for why you might want to use them. let's go through a couple of examples of what it means to choose these modem protocols when transmitting a file between the Braille and Speak and your PC. Here again, we assume that all cables are connected properly and that you have made sure that telecommunication settings such as baud rate, parity, data bits, and stop bits all match. And we further assume that you are running a telecommunications program in your PC. First, let's look at a transfer going from the PC to your Braille and Speak. From the Files menu in the Braille and Speak, enter in T chord for transfer. The Braille and Speak prompts, enter S to send or R to receive. If you press an S chord or an R chord, you will hear the names of the files as they are being transmitted. If you simply write an S or an R, you do not hear their names as they are being transmitted. For now, let's write an R to receive a file. A note of caution, if you have a file in the Braille and Speak with the same name as the name of the one that you are receiving from the PC, the Braille and Speak asks you whether you want to delete the one in the Braille and Speak. If you answer yes, it will be deleted and replaced by the incoming file. If you answer no, the transfer is aborted altogether. Now the Braille and Speak gives you some options to consider. Enter X for X modem, Y for Y modem, G for Y modem G, or K for Kermit. Note, Y modem G does not work with 38400 baud for a file longer than one page. If you write an X for X modem, the Braille and Speak asks, enter file name. Write the file name followed by an E chord. The Braille and Speak confirms your choice with start the transfer. Obviously, on the PC side of things, you must choose X for X modem as well in order for the transfer to work properly. If you had chosen Y for Y modem, G for Y modem G, or K for Kermit, the Braille and Speak does not prompt you for a file name because it gets that information as part of the transfer automatically. It creates the file name in your Braille and Speak as it receives it from the PC. Incidentally, remember the S chord command for the disk drive? You can use the Y option with that command as well to transmit files to an attached disk drive. Now let's make sure you understand how to approach this process from the PC side. From within your telecommunications program, you select the upload option, and when asked how you want to send this PC file and are offered the various choices discussed above, you select the one that matches what you have chosen on the Braille and Speak. So choose X for X modem if you selected that on the Braille and Speak. The telecommunications program asks you the name of the PC file you want to send, and you type the name, usually followed by the enter key on your PC. When the Braille and Speak has received the file, it will let you know with an OK prompt, followed by enter file command. Why that prompt? Well, remember that you issued the T chord from the files menu. You're still there. If you want to see the contents of the file you just received, you simply press a .456 chord to bring you to the last file in your file list, and then press an O chord to open it. Now let's say that something went wrong and the transfer was aborted. In such a case, the Braille and Speak says, transfer canceled, enter file command. You'll probably see some kind of error message on the PC as well. If you use the X for X modem option for transmitting files, you can only transmit one file at a time. However, with Y modem or Kermit, you can receive multiple files with the wildcard characters mentioned in section 4.2.4.1. See Appendix A for details. For example, when your telecommunications program asks you for the name of a file you want to send, you can type *.txt, and all files that have the .txt extension in your current PC directory are queued up and sent to the Braille and Speak each one getting named separately in your Braille and Speak and being added to your file list as it is received. Now let's look at an example where you're sending a file from the Braille and Speak to the PC using these modem protocol options we've been discussing. We'll use the file called Practice that we created in Chapter 2 as our sample file to transmit to the PC. Enter the Files menu and then press a T chord. This time respond with an S to the prompt, enter S to send or R to receive. Now you are prompted to enter X for X modem, 1 for X modem 1K, Y for Y modem, or K for Kermit. We didn't see the option 1 for X modem 1K in the options for receiving files from the PC because the Braille and Speak can distinguish whether it is receiving a file with plain X modem or with X modem with 1K protocol. Also, notice that you don't see the option G for Y modem G here. If you had set your PC to receive the Braille and Speak file with Y modem G, simply choose the Y modem option on the Braille and Speak side to send the file to the PC. If you choose either the X or 1 options for the two X modem choices available to you, you can send only one Braille and Speak file at a time to your PC. However, if you choose either Y for Y modem or K for Kermit, you can send a bunch of files from your Braille and Speak to the PC. When you choose the Y or K options for sending files from the Braille and Speak to the PC, the Braille and Speak places you in your file list so that you can mark the files you want to send. Marking files in your file list prepares them to be sent. We'll see how in a minute. After you're done marking which files you want to send, press an E chord to tell the Braille and Speak to start transmitting. Let's look at marking. There are several ways to do it. To mark files, you can move through your file list in the usual way with .1 chords to move backward and .4 chords to move forward through the list. You can press a C chord to hear the name of the file you are currently pointing to, spoken again, and you can use an L chord and a .456 chord to move to the top and bottom of your file list, respectively, as usual. When you come across a file that you do want to send to the PC, mark it by writing a Y. In other words, you're saying, yes, I want to send this file. The Braille and Speak responds, file name is marked. Now you can continue moving through your file list to choose more files to send to the PC. As you move through your file list in this marking process, the Braille and Speak tells you whether the file you're pointing to is already marked. If a file was already marked from a previous transmission that you don't want to send at the present time, you can unmark it by writing an N. If you want to move a little faster through the process of marking files in your file list, press a Y chord to mark a file and automatically move to the next file in your file list. In addition, if you want to send every file in your file list to the PC, say for backup purposes, simply write an M. This marks all files except help and clipboard to be sent. Press a U to unmark all the files at once. Another way to use the marking feature is to press an M chord or a U chord to mark or unmark a specific group of files that have similar names. For example, let's say that you have several files in your Braille and Speak with names like address.brl and practice.brl. You can press an M chord followed by the characters *.brl, and all files with names that end in .brl are marked for sending to your PC. Similarly, you can press a U chord followed by *.brl to unmark all such files so that they are not sent to your PC. By the way, pressing the space bar toggles between marking and unmarking the files to which you are currently pointing also. Remember, throughout this whole discussion of marking files, we've been in the middle of the transmission process. In other words, you entered your files menu, pressed T chord to transmit, and an S for sending files from the BrailleInspeak to the PC, and further chose either Y or K for your modem protocol. And finally, now you have marked the files you want to send. To tell the BrailleInspeak that you're finished marking, as we said earlier, you press an E chord. That says, okay, I'm done choosing the files I'm going to send BrailleInspeak. Now go ahead and send them, please. The BrailleInspeak says, start the transfer. This means that it's ready to send and is waiting for a signal from your PC that says, okay, I'm ready to receive. So now on the PC, select the download option in your telecommunications program. When prompted, choose the same protocol as you chose on your BrailleInspeak, for example, Y for Y modem. You should hear clicking and hissing from the BrailleInspeak and your disk drive spinning in your PC as files come into it. In fact, you'll also hear numbers coming across your PC screen. Don't worry, these are error checking signals being emitted, and it indicates that all is well. Should things go wrong, the PC and BrailleInspeak will both issue messages telling you that the transfer has been aborted. In the case of the BrailleInspeak, you'll find yourself back in the Files menu at the prompt Enter File command. You can either try the transfer again or check to see whether all your telecommunications settings match up, whether there's enough room on your PC to accept files, etc. See Appendix A for more help. Section 4.4, the BrailleInspeak as a speech synthesizer. We've talked about transmitting data between your BrailleInspeak and other devices. Another way you can use the BrailleInspeak with other computers is as a speech synthesizer. The BrailleInspeak has the capability of acting as your portable speech synthesizer in conjunction with a screen access program in your PC. Let's see how it works. First, we assume that you have a screen access program in your PC and that you understand its use. There are numerous such programs on the market, and Blazy Engineering even has one of its own, called a PC Master. We won't get into the mechanics of how your screen access program works here. We'll only explain how to turn the BrailleInspeak into the speech synthesizer through which you can interact with your screen access program in your PC. To run your BrailleInspeak as a speech synthesizer, you don't need to run a telecommunications program in your PC. That is specific to transmitting data between your BrailleInspeak and the PC. What you do need is a screen access program that supports the BrailleInspeak as a speech synthesizer. Check with the vendor of your screen access program to see if that vendor supports the BrailleInspeak as a synthesizer. You'll need to hook up the BrailleInspeak to the serial port of your computer, as previously described, and all the telecommunications parameters we detailed earlier, baud rate, handshaking, and so on, must match. You may need to use a telecommunications program to set those parameters properly on your PC, but MS-DOS has other ways to do this through its mode command. Check your DOS manual for a detailed explanation. To use the BrailleInspeak as a speech synthesizer, get into the speech parameters menu with the usual AR sign chord, dots 345. Write a 4 sign, dots 123456. The BrailleInspeak says speech box mode on. Enter an E chord to exit the speech parameters menu. You are now in a mode where the BrailleInspeak cannot accept input from you into a file. You can't check your calendar, perform a calculation, etc. In effect, you've turned the BrailleInspeak into a dumb device that can only accept information from your PC. The only input your BrailleInspeak accepts from you directly on the BrailleInspeak keyboard is an AR sign chord to re-enter speech parameters menu followed by an 4 sign to turn off speech box mode. Let's practice this much. Even if you don't presently have your Braille and Speak linked to another device, you can test out this process. Get into the speech parameters menu and write a 4 sign. You'll hear speech box mode on. Exit with an E chord. Now try to write something, anything, an O chord or a C chord. Nothing happens. Your Braille and Speak is waiting for something from your PC. Even if it isn't hooked up to one, it thinks it is, and patiently waits and waits. Re-enter the speech parameters menu. Phew, that does work. And you hear the usual prompt, enter speech parameters. Now write a 4 sign, and you hear speech box mode off. Exit the speech parameters menu with an E chord. You're back in business. Braille and Speak should now respond normally again. Assuming that you do have your unit hooked up to a PC and are running a screen access program that supports the Braille and Speak, and that you've turned the Braille and Speak into a speech synthesizer, here's what happens. As we just said, the Braille and Speak is now dumb, patiently waiting for something from the PC. It monitors your interaction with the PC. Every time you type a space, the Braille and Speak says the word you just typed. If you issue a command for the screen access program from the PC keyboard, such as, read me the whole screen, the Braille and Speak says the contents of your PC screen to you. A more sophisticated way of using the Braille and Speak as a speech synthesizer is to turn speech box mode on with a 4-sign chord instead of a simple 4-sign. Remember that chords include the space bar on the Braille and Speak keyboard. If you enter the speech parameters menu and press a 4-sign chord, the Braille and Speak gives you a choice about how it should read from the PC. Let's try it now. Again, you can test this out without having your Braille and Speak actually hooked up to a PC. From the speech parameters menu, press a 4-sign chord. The Braille and Speak says, enter L for line or B for block handshaking. Now don't confuse this prompt with our earlier discussion of handshaking in telecommunication settings. After you write an L or B in response to the prompt, the Braille and Speak says, speech box mode on. Then you exit the speech parameters menu in the usual way with an E chord. The choice of line or block handshaking is really subjective. Here's what the choice means. If you choose lined handshaking, the Braille and Speak will read you text from your PC a line at a time, pausing at each carriage return. In fact, the computer will not send more text until the Braille and Speak has read to you the present line of text. In many cases, you'll find it desirable to have the Braille and Speak read this way, when you're programming, for example, or reading through a list. Choosing block handshaking means that the Braille and Speak reads you blocks of text up to 256 characters at a time. It doesn't look for carriage returns as it reads to you. Using this choice creates a smoother, more natural sounding speech from the Braille and Speak, with more natural pauses and inflections, rather than pauses controlled by the physical ends of lines on the screen. You'll probably find this a more useful choice for reading through a document, where it is not important that you know precisely where one line ends and the next begins. Another interesting feature of the speech box mode is indexing. This capability only works if the screen access program you're using supports indexing. Indexing means that the Braille and Speak is so closely linked to the PC cursor as it's reading, that if you issue a stop reading command on your PC, the PC cursor and the Braille and Speak will both stop at the same place. In other words, the last word uttered by the Braille and Speak is the same word as where your PC cursor rests. This can be very handy when you're doing some editing, for example, using a word processor in your PC. If your screen access program supports the capability to change speech parameters rate of speech, volume, and so forth. You can change how the Braille and Speak reads to you from your PC keyboard. Here is a brief list of the speech parameters you might be able to control from your PC if your screen access program lets you do it. Volume, control E, X, V, where X represents a volume from 01 to 16, 01 being the lowest volume. Pitch, control E, X, P, where X represents a pitch from 01 to 63, 01 being the lowest pitch. Speech rate, control E, X, E, where X represents a rate from 01 to 16, 01 being the slowest speech rate. Frequency, control E, X, T, where X represents a tone from 01 to 25, 01 being the lowest. Punctuation level, control E followed by A, M, S, or Z, where the letters represent all, most, some, or no punctuation, respectively. Index marker, control F. Silence command, control X. The Braille and Speak's capability to perform as a portable speech synthesizer can come in handy if you have to interact with many computers or are on the road a lot and can't take extra equipment with you, or you can't take a PC apart to install an internal speech synthesizer. Section 4.5, Sending Braille and Speak Output to Your Computer Screen. You can write in your Braille and Speak and have the output sent directly to your computer screen. That screen may be your PC screen, or it may be a personal touch, or with the 640, a mini Braille. These are two Braille display devices sold by Blazy Engineering. To turn your Braille and Speak into a remote device, all the usual telecommunications settings previously described must match up, and cable requirements must be met. Press a zero chord, dots 356, on the Braille and Speak. It says remote. Write a B for linking it to a personal touch as a Braille display. With the 640, you can also write an M for use with the mini Braille. Write a dot 4 to send output directly to a computer screen. Note, in the 640, writing a dot 4 produces the prompt ASCII, while in the Classic, it produces the prompt invalid input, but dot 4 does work in both models. Turn the remote mode off by turning off the Braille and Speak. Section 4.6, Summary. We have covered a great deal of complicated material in this chapter. We suggest that you review the steps outlined in those sections that meet your needs and not to dwell on those that don't. Telecommunications can be wonderful, but the staggering array of possibilities can daunt even the hardiest among us. Take your time learning about telecommunications and use Appendix A, Troubleshooting, to help you when you get confused. Usually, telecommunication challenges arise from simply forgetting a step in the process. Once you've mastered the process, though, you'll definitely reap its rewards. Appendix A, Troubleshooting. By now, you are no doubt comfortable with the overall operations of your Braille and Speak. However, what if something goes wrong? So often, manuals tell you how to do things, but not how to fix them when something goes wrong. What if you hit the wrong key during a command? What if you issue a command, then need to cancel it before completion? What if, horror of horrors, your file disappears? And finally, what if any of these things happens at 3 in the morning when you really can't reach for the phone for help? All of these what-ifs are possibilities whenever you have a computer. It's a simple fact of life. For most of us, though, reaching for the phone, even though it may mean a toll call, is easier and less scary than trying to deal with the problem ourselves. Our purpose in this appendix is to show you that many potentially devastating problems really aren't, that you just might be able to solve them yourself after all. And think how good you'll feel for having done so. We reached into our files for the most commonly asked questions of the technical support staff. We list them here with possible solutions to try before panicking. Of course, we are here should you really need us. But when you call, already having tried to solve the problem yourself, chances are your phone bill will be smaller because we won't have to walk you through the basics. We are not discouraging you from calling for help, and in fact, we invite your feedback. But we are confident that we can serve you even better if you can first troubleshoot the problem yourself. Incidentally, some solutions suggested below come directly from those of you brave enough to challenge the murky waters of troubleshooting. We commend you for helping all of us. And now, on to the questions. Telecommunications questions. 1. How do I connect my Braille and Speak to my brand name, printer, computer, or modem? You must connect the right cables and match telecommunications settings between your Braille and Speak and the other device. We offer a wide range of cables which connect the Braille and Speak to the most commonly used computers, printers, and modems. For example, there are cables for the PC XT and PC AT series of IBM, as well as cables for the Apple family of computers and printers. In addition, we offer the serial to parallel converter cable for use with parallel printers. Refer to section 4.1.1 for general information about cables and to appendix C for technical information about cables. The Braille and Speak is preset with the most commonly used telecommunications settings. To see how they are set, check them out from the status menu. For a full discussion of these settings, see section 4.1.2. For a listing of the default settings, refer to appendix B. 2. I connect my cable to my modem. It fits, but I cannot communicate. The cable may fit, but you need a no modem adapter to talk to the modem. 3. I am connected to my modem with a null modem adapter. When I try to communicate, I hear waiting on serial device. Carrier detect must be changed. It is low and must be made high. Try @C1 from the PC, then @W to save the configuration. 4. My Braille and Speak cable fits into my PC serial port, but it will not communicate. If the cable that comes with your Braille and Speak fits into your port with no adapters, then you probably have it in the parallel port. Serial ports are usually male, so you'll need a gender adapter. 5. I hear file is full, and I'm hooked up to a computer, a bulletin board, with my modem, or a printer. If you're in a mode of duplex, where material is stored and/or echoed back from the other device, and therefore written to the end of your currently open file, you might run into a file is full error message. Check the contents of the file and delete extraneous text if necessary. Remember to turn off the serial port in order to be able to do this. Also, changing the duplex or echo feature of the device in question may help. 6. My Braille and Speak doesn't speak the last character it receives from the PC or bulletin board that I am connected to with my modem. You need to set the interactive timeout parameter, normally set to 0 or off. Set this parameter from the status menu. The interactive timeout parameter sets the length of time that the Braille and Speak waits before speaking data it has received. speech devices require specific signals, for example, carriage returns and spaces, in order to speak data they have received from another device. Occasionally, the final signal sent from an external device is not what the BrailleSpeak needs to see. For these cases, the BrailleSpeak produces a signal of its own. The interactive timeout parameter sets the amount of time that the BrailleSpeak waits before generating this signal. Enter the status menu with an ST sign cord and write an X. You hear something like interactive timeout 0. This means that the timeout feature is turned off. You can change the length of time the BrailleSpeak waits before issuing the signal to speak the data it has received from 1 to 255 tenths of a second. So setting it to 10 means that the BrailleSpeak waits 1 second before speaking data it has received. 7. When using the BrailleSpeak as a remote device with the personal touch or the mini braille, how do I match up the telecommunications settings? Remember that the mini braille option is available only for the 640 model. Its default settings are 9600 baud, no parity, 8 data bits, 1 stop bit, software handshaking. For the personal touch, the default settings are 4800 baud, even parity, 7 data bits, 1 stop bit, software handshaking. Finally, make sure that you've activated the serial port before issuing the 0 cord command to turn the BrailleSpeak into a remote device. Printing questions. 1. When I try to print, my printer won't move to the next line. Append line feeds is off. If you turn this setting on, a line feed character is sent to the printer with every line which is printed. See section 4.3.3. 2. When I try to print, the BrailleSpeak says waiting on serial device. The printer is probably offline. Turn the printer online. If this does not work, connect the mini tester between the BrailleSpeak and the printer. The mini tester comes with Blazy's interface kit. Call for more information. 3. When I try to print, the BrailleSpeak says OK, but nothing happens. First, check whether the telecommunications settings on both devices match. Check baud rate, parity, data bits, stop bits, and handshaking. Next, try turning on append line feeds. Some printers need a line feed character with every line, or they will not even print. Next, check the pins in the serial ports of both devices to see if they are bent or broken. 4. When I print either to a PC or a printer, I get garbage, mainly X's, P's, and at signs. Most likely, baud rates don't match. Check the baud rate on both devices. 5. When I print, my document is missing characters. This is probably a handshaking problem. The BrailleSpeak's handshaking may be different from the printer's. 8. I can't send or receive files from my disk drive, and I am properly connected to it. If I press a T cord, I don't hear the disk drive message before the prompt enter S to send or R to receive, and if I press an S cord from within my file, I hear storage device missing. Check that the disk drive is still turned on. If turning it on does not solve the problem, then turn the BrailleSpeak off and on again. Crash and recovery questions. 1. All of my files have become gibberish, and when I go into the files menu, the titles are incorrect. This rarely happens to our newer revisions, but this does sound like a crash. In other words, there may be something wrong with your unit, but it may be fixable. Try a warm reset. If that does not work, you must do a cold reset, the iCord. You do a warm reset to return all Braille and Speak settings to their default values, except for the battery timer, without losing data. When you press a four-sign chord, dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the Braille and Speak says, warm reset, please verify. When you press a second four-sign chord, it says, okay. Caution, do not use a warm reset within another command while data are being transmitted. You can also do a warm reset when you turn on the Braille and Speak. To issue the command, turn off the Braille and Speak. Then hold down the seven Braille and Speak keys as you turn on the power. Once power is on, continue to hold down the keys for about a second. Use a cold reset procedure only as a last resort. All settings are reset to their defaults, and all files you may have created, as well as their data, may be lost. For about 2 seconds, press an I chord as you turn on the power to the Braille and Speak. You hear system initialized, delete all files in data areas. Enter wire in. If you answer yes, it says, are you sure? To really force you to think. If you still answer yes, you hear beeps while the Braille and Speak cleans up things by putting X's throughout the files. Your data is irrevocably lost. This process ensures that no one can recover your personal data. A good idea when exchanging your Braille and Speak for an upgrade or a repaired machine. 2. When I turn on my Braille and Speak, it gives the correct message, but every time I press a chord or a key, it either says space or file is write protected. You may have write protected the currently open file and don't remember having done so. Get into the files menu and press an I chord to hear the status of the currently open file. If it is write protected, unprotected with a U chord. Or you may be in one-handed mode. Hold down dot 3 as you power on. If that does not fix it, hold down all 7 keys at power on to perform a warm reset. 3. When I hit a chord, the Braille and Speak resets, saying, Braille and Speak ready. This rarely happens, but a warm reset usually fixes the problem. 4. My Braille and Speak turned on and it is dead. A warm reset usually fixes this problem. 5. I have deleted a file or a portion of a file accidentally. Is there any way to get it back? This depends on whether you've done anything since your deletion. If you have not created another file or performed another deletion, there is hope. Here are a couple of scenarios. You've deleted text from the current cursor position to the end of the file. Remember that the clipboard is a trash can. The text you just deleted is there, or at least the first 4,096 characters of it. The rest of the text, if there was more than one Braille and Speak page worth of text, is in another place in the Braille and Speak memory. Remember our analogy to the binder. It is as if the Braille and Speak put the first page of the text you deleted into the clipboard and the rest of the pages at the back of the binder. To bring them back where they belong into your currently open file, first press an ING sign chord, dots 346, C. to copy the contents of the clipboard back into your currently open file, thus recovering the first page worth of text. Then, from the Files menu, write a four sign, dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The Braille and Speak says, recover file, enter wire in. Entering Y should recover the rest of your text into your currently open file. Go to the end of the file and check the location of the cursor as well as how much room there is left. If you see numbers that don't make sense or unwanted text, it probably means that you've recovered extraneous text. press .1 chords and .23 chords to move backward through the file until you find the text that should have been the end of the file. Delete from that point forward to eliminate this junk from your file. You've just deleted the last file in your file list. You can recover the file from the Files menu using a similar procedure to the one just described. But you now have no file to fill with text, so the first step is to create a file with the appropriate number of pages you threw away. If you're not sure of this number, then start with a one-page file. You may have to keep making the file bigger, a page at a time, and then performing the recover operation repeatedly until you have recovered the complete file. Suppose that you have a two-page file called junk that you have just deleted by mistake. When you read your file list from the Files menu with an L chord, a Q chord, or even a V chord, it's just not there. To start the recovery process, from the Files menu, write a C to create a new file. Name the file anything you want. The file's name is irrelevant to the Braille speak. Just naming it the same name as the deleted file won't recover it. Go ahead and answer the usual prompts for creating a new file. You should now be in an empty open file. From the Files menu, write a for sign, dots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. At the prompt, write a Y. You should recover the file, although you may have extraneous text to delete at its end. These are tricky maneuvers, but they may save important data for you. We suggest that you practice this procedure with a junk file before attempting it with real data. Braille translation questions. 1. I am using the Braille and Speak as a speech synthesizer. When I hit a key on my PC, I get the grade 2 equivalent, like do for D and can for C, etc. SpeechBox mode uses the clipboard as a buffer. Go into the clipboard and switch off the translator. 2. I am trying to use the 640 calendar alert feature. I pasted the date correctly, but I still don't hear the alert when I turn on the unit. If you entered the date in computer Braille, the translator in the calendar file must be off. If you pasted the date in grade 1 Braille, the translator must remain on in the calendar file. See whether the date is written in computer Braille or grade 1 Braille, and then make sure the translator is set to match. Also, see whether calendar check is on from the status menu. End of side 6.